Driver, we're clear.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of The Florida Project, the podcast where Disney fans celebrate Walt Disney World. If you like Disney and you like podcasts, you will probably like The Florida Project. My name is Jason. Across from me is Will.
Hello, friends.
And next to me is Michael.
Hello.
If you'd like to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, get some cool real-world stuff, and even chat with us when you're bored at work, become one of our Patreon saints at patreon.com/TFP podcast. Each week on TFP Extra, we keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances, and a topic that may or may not be Disney-related. So if you're a fan of the nonsense parts of The Florida Project, you will love TFP Extra. In addition to TFP Extra, our Patreon saints get access to our ongoing Disney Classics series where we discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. We just released Make My Music, and next up is The Rescuers Down Under. Patreons who contribute just $5 get the additional shows and an invite to the TFP Slack channel. There you can chat with us, participate in watch-alongs, and engage in fun, freewheeling discussions. It's like a nonstop episode of TFP Extra.
Extra.
Additional levels and rewards are all on the Patreon site, so sign up at patreon.com/TFP podcast today and get more of The Florida Project. If you don't want to support us on Patreon, another great way that you can support us is telling a friend, somebody that you know loves Disney, some of your Disney nerd friends, let them know about the show, get them to listen, get them to subscribe. We would really appreciate it. In today's episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and small topics. Michael will give us the latest news. Will will take us on a trip down Main Tweet USA. And then we'll discuss the newest Disney animated feature, Raya and the Last Dragon, in our famous review show, 10 Questions About Raya and the Last Dragon. All that and more is coming up on this week's episode of The Florida Project.
It's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small, small.
Small topics. Today, for small topics, we're going to play One's Got to Go.
I already want to form an official protest.
Nope.
I'm filing a protest because it feels like you just made all these questions for the first one for me.
First one was for you.
And it's not fair.
First one is very clearly for you.
And it's not fair. I don't like it.
All right. One of these three has to go.
Go where?
Away.
Eliminated?
Poofed.
Oh.
Like Thanos poofed.
Huh. But you remember that it was once there.
Well, yeah, that's Thanos poofed.
Which is the flaw in his plan. He should have wiped the memories and nobody
would have been fine.
Yeah.
Why do we have all these extra houses around here?
This is weird. All right, here we go. One's got to go. Luke Skywalker, Superman, or Tom Hanks? You can keep two. You got to get rid of one. We'll let Will think on this. Michael?
Tread carefully.
Luke Skywalker.
Jerk. Yeah. Luke Skywalker. Absolutely. Jerks.
I would say either him or Superman because neither of them are real. Don't get rid of the real person. Get rid of the fictional people.
You can't get rid of Tom Hanks, first of all.
Yeah.
COVID tried. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Too nice.
He's uncovetable. Yeah. Luke Skywalker is the correct answer. Will, what's your answer?
I mean, since they already killed my Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi. I think I've gone without Superman more since we haven't had a good Superman in quite some time.
So it sounds like you hate truth, justice, and the American way.
But love's a good bosom buddy.
You know, I've never seen an episode of Bosom Buddies.
Oh, you should watch Bosom Buddies.
I don't think I've ever seen a lot of Tom Hanks' early work.
I think Michael, when he said that, there was a comma between bosom and buddy.
Oh.
Love's a good bosom buddy.
Buddy. Well, from what I hear, Superman has a nice bosom.
Yeah.
Very spectacular.
All right, so Superman, that's who you're...
Nah, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker.
I mean, I've said goodbye to the first two a lot of times, it feels like.
Yeah, so. That's true. All right, One's Got to Go, Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, or Big Thunder Mountain?
Well, that's easy.
How is it easy?
You can say Splashbound because it's already gone away.
So I think we should have an asterisk saying they're not retheming Splashbound.
Yeah, it's like it's a
they're bulldozing it,
and they're not even planting trees where it used to be. It's just a dirt.
Is it
patch.
Just for more social distance lines?
Yep.
And like when, like even when this is over, they're just prepared.
Yeah,
they're just gonna sell Splash Mountain merchandise, but there'll be no Splash Mountain.
Right. Still on sale, guys.
Yeah.
Still on sale. You didn't need to fill up those trash bags with your Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox like plushes, idiots.
So I'll go first on this one. This is easy for me. It's Space Mountain because it really makes me sick. Splash Mountain is my absolute favorite, and Thunder Mountain is my favorite person's favorite. So they get to stay.
Space Mountain is my favorite, so we will be going nowhere, first of all. And Splash Mountain is, one of the more ambitious attractions there is at Walt Disney World, more iconic, even though they're changing it. But still, I mean, it may have more animatronics than even some Epcot attractions.
The log ride goes up.
I'm getting rid of Big Thunder Mountain. Sorry, Michael.
Wow.
It's a poor man's Space Mountain. It's an outdoor Space Mountain.
You're going to rue the day that you got rid of Big Thunder Mountain.
I like indoor roller coasters, sir. Actually, my favorite roller coasters at Walt Disney World are the indoor ones.
It's partially indoors.
Air conditioning.
You like attractions that go indoor and outside.
I do.
So Thunder Mountain's a perfect
example.
It's
not really indoors because it's not air conditioned and climate controlled.
There are bats.
There are bats, and I don't like bats.
It's fair. Michael?
I'm going to go with Space Mountain.
Yeah.
Only because, like, I like it more than Splash Mountain, but because they're building a Tron coaster right next to Space Mountain, I feel like it won't hit as hard that it's not there. Though, I want them to keep the structure and put something else inside of there, because you can't have a Tomorrowland.
Like
I don't know.
Popcorn cart.
That's a lot of popcorn to fill that.
Just one in the middle.
They could put it like, what's the Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris called?
The Space Mountain.
That has a different name, I think. But they could put that in there instead.
That's where they should have put the Space Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Finally, Fast Pass, fireworks, or popcorn?
Fast Pass.
Fast Pass. You can just say it.
Yeah.
Look, we've gone without fireworks for a while now.
We have.
And Fast Pass.
And Fast Pass. And I missed fireworks more.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And that's One's Got to Go.
I don't like it. We shouldn't do that anymore. It was too hard.
Thanks, Jason. That was a succinct small topics.
Yeah.
News. So here are four Disney news items to discuss this week about Walt Disney World. Number one, Epcot's main entrance debuts even more enhancements. So the Epcot main entrance has been a work in progress for a while now, and with the construction walls down, the new fountain glistening in the sunlight, and the greenery restored, one might think it was done. However, last week, three more finishing touches were made to enhance the front of the park. First up, 12 new flags are flying. The 12 flags represent the park's pavilions and attractions and are located in two groups of six either side of the main entrance plaza. These are World Showcase, The Land, Journey of Water, The Seas with Nemo, Odyssey/Epcot Experience Center, Spaceship Earth, World Celebration Centerpiece, Imagination, Test Track, Play, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, and Mission Space. So I think that also gives you some ideas to what is still on the schedule.
I have a few questions.
I wonder if they're going to sell these flags, because if they do, we will get them for our house.
All of them?
Some, yeah,
they're going to put up 12 flagpoles in the front yard.
There's 12 flags, one for each month.
No, we have the Star Trek flag.
American flag.
American flag goes up for 4th of July, Memorial Day, and Labor Day. No, and then Labor Day, it's the football flag. So that's...
You just have a flag with a football on it?
Yeah. Sports. State flag, thank you. Yeah. So outside of that, so there's about, 8 or 9 months that we could put up the good Epcot flags.
Or put all 12 up in like a semicircle in our front yard.
I don't think the HOA.
Yeah, I don't think the association.
To that.
The association didn't like that we didn't put the steps in our flashing on the thing. So, pretty sure.
But if I explain to them, they're for the pavilions and attractions at Epcot.
We'd need to put the American flag in the middle.
Well, it has to be higher.
Yeah, and higher. And then if they tell us to take it down, then they're against America.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I have a few questions.
Okay.
I did not know what all the 12 flags were. And now that I do, they had a flag for the Odyssey/Epcot Experience Center.
They did, because there's an icon for it.
Why?
Because they made an icon for all the stuff.
Because Michael bought 20 pins.
All right. That one is the one I find.
It's on the outside of the restaurant. Like,
I find that weird. Yeah. I know Odyssey had a logo.
Yeah.
Like, but I find that weird that I didn't know this was going to be like a thing going forward, you know? Like,
I think it's they're celebrating their history.
Yeah.
Right? Because these icons predate.
Some of them.
Journey of Water does not.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, on day one-ish, Epcot had an icon.
The new Moana water fountain they'll be putting over there. My next question is the celebration centerpiece. Is that just going to be where Walt sits and looks out and says, hey, there's some stuff?
To me,
is that the paperweight?
To me, that's the like that classic Epcot logo, like the circle. It looks like a globe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the icon for that. So I think it's like it may have been like the Communicore logo.
So
was
this going to be for that big building that they're not building?
No, it's for like the whole middle of the park.
Okay. And well, oh yeah, play. They still doing that?
Well, you said it wrong.
Play.
Yeah, both imagination and play have exclamation points.
Yeah, what? Imagination is. Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. I don't have an issue with the exclamation
point. They want you to pretend to be excited about it.
Well, I am excited.
I'm excited about both imagination and play.
I'm not excited about imagination.
Yeah, I mean, they need to do something.
No, in general, like the concept of it.
Oh, yeah.
Not the pavilion.
I'm a big fan of the imagination.
I just, you know, I'm curious of what they're actually going to build with play at this point.
I think they've just paused.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening.
All right.
Also, there is now a new entrance area soundtrack. Surprisingly, none of the music is based on the classic Epcot scores or original compositions. Instead, Imagineers has opted to use existing recordings of inspirational music from a variety of musicians. Many of the composers have produced music for movies and TV, including Our Planet. Some of the artists in the 60-minute loop include Mark Petrie and Stephen Price, and nearly all of the music is available on both Spotify and Apple Music. The old loop featuring classic Epcot music is still playing around the ticket booth areas and in the bathrooms next to Spaceship Earth. The new audio is also playing on the brand new sound system that was installed along with the new entrance planters instead of the old speakers that were mounted on the monorail beams. And I think they're still there. They're just not hooked up anymore.
Yeah. So I am pretty good at staying away from Diz Twitter and like reactions of like Disney people to things, but this even like people being mad about this even broke through to my radar. I just don't like, I've never thought of any of the entrance music as anything. Like I've never been like, oh, you know, this is my, I could just sit here for an hour and listen to this entrance music. It's just entrance music.
If they changed the Main Street USA entrance music to like, Madonna's Die Another Day, then you would notice it.
Well, yeah, but
but that is not what happened.
But if they change it from one score to another score.
Yeah. The Epcot entrance music is, dare I say, iconic.
Yeah.
Like there's like a, I don't know. I feel like it's well known in the Disney community.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would be surprised if a lot of the people complaining about this have actually listened to the music. Because I listened to it on, I think it was WW Magic. They had like some video of the music playing. And it fits like really well. Like yeah. It's not like they replaced it with bad music or anything.
It is like the reactions are as if they replaced it with Katy Perry and Fireworks.
Right. And the fact that they have the original music still playing in other areas. Especially like the ticket booth, because that's right next to this area. So it's not like you have to go across the park to hear this music that you might have.
I would love that Katy Perry idea. That would be fantastic. I was drinking some tea. So that would be fantastic. I listened to some of it. It sounded fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the idea of the old one that it was playing some of the attraction songs in score form. That was cute. But it's not like you're gonna sit there and like let's take an hour.
And most people today don't know what that music, like, it means nothing to them.
Yeah, they had they were still playing the Honey I Shrunk the Audience theme, like, there, like, so. And Michael and I go, that's about it.
Well, and thirdly, a new lighting package has been installed on the perimeter buildings around the main entrance plaza. The lighting outlines the roofline in a rainbow of color using new LED lighting with 3,000 programmable zones that enable moving light effects along the more than 1,200-foot long strip. There are a number of different sequences with shades of blue, red, and purple, along with chasing effects. And you can see, like, pictures and videos of all this on different websites. Like I mentioned, WW Magic has some video, and it looks cool. Yep. I'm excited to see how it works in conjunction with the new lighting package that's coming to Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it's all got interconnected. But it looks cool. It looks futuristic, but also retro in a way to, like, the original Epcot.
Yeah.
So I think all these changes are well done, and they get my thumb up.
Just one?
Yeah. I'm just holding up one.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, they get as many thumbs up as possible, but I only have one up at the moment.
Okay.
They get maximum thumbs, Will.
It was just one. That's all I'm saying. Like, you have two.
My other hand was under my
But right
leg.
Now it was one of one thumbs.
Where'd the other one go?
Huh? Under my leg.
It's just not in this current rating system.
Because it's chilly and damp down here.
Yeah, just chilly.
And bright.
It is very bright down here. Brighter.
We got new lampshades.
Everything seems brighter.
Yeah.
Good. Because it's a great big, beautiful. Sorry.
Gotta wear shades.
Number two, Raya and the Last Dragon comes to Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Oh my God, we just missed her.
We did. While Raya and the Last Dragon can currently be seen in theaters and on Disney Plus, you can experience the fantastical world of Kumandra in two brand new offerings at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Disney Parks blog says, quote, continuing the legacy Walt Disney started with Bambi, animals have been an integral part of Disney storytelling and continue to inspire the development of new beloved characters. The animation experience at Conservation Station offers guests a chance to learn to draw Disney characters inspired by the animals they may also see in the park, as well as new characters from Raya and the Last Dragon, including Raya's faithful companion Tuk-Tuk. Part pill bug, part pug, part high-speed off-road vehicle, and all adorable, Tuk-Tuk has been Raya's best friend since she could hold him in the palm of her hand. As part of the experience, you'll see a behind-the-scenes look at the inspiration of Tuk-Tuk shared by Kelly Marie Tran, the voice of Raya, and Awkwafina, the voice of Sisu. Also, at Discovery Island Stage, artists have worked on a 40-ton sand sculpture celebrating the new film. The display features Raya, Tuk-Tuk, Sisu the Last Dragon, and the Ongai, all set in the fantasy world of Kumandra. It took a team of two talented artists over 24 hours to build and carve the display made entirely from sand. Guests had the opportunity to watch the artisans at work February 19th through 21st, but guests can also view the carving as it will remain on display at Disney's Animal Kingdom for a limited time through the end of March. So this is cool. We did just miss that. That would have been cool to see them, like, carving it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we could have listened to the Discovery Island background music, too, while we were watching. Yeah. Which is, the Animal Kingdom background music is not fun to listen to, I'll say, for any length of time.
Well, most of the
Discovery Island's the petting zoo, right?
No.
No, that's Conservation Station.
Oh, okay.
Front of the tree.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the island.
Where the macaws fly in formation to greet you every day you walk in the park.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At least that's what it's like for me. Because it seems like every time I go, it's right at the time the macaws come out and start flying. So it's like, oh, welcome back.
Yeah. It is a nice way to enter the park.
It is.
In a flurry of macaws.
Number three, Disney to close 20% of its Disney stores. So as reported online, the Disney store, once a mall mainstay, is drastically reducing the number of locations it has in the United States and Canada. Disney said it's closing at least 60 stores in North America, amounting to about 35% of its locations in the region. Moving forward, Disney is placing a larger emphasis on its e-commerce business rather than its brick-and-mortar footprint. Quote, while consumer behavior has shifted toward online shopping, the global pandemic has changed what consumers expect from a retailer, said Stephanie Young, president of Disney's Consumer Products, Games, and Publishing Unit. Disney said that it's focusing on making its Shop Disney platform a more seamless and personalized experience. That online revamp will be complemented by greater integration with Disney park apps and social media platforms. Fans can still buy Mickey merchandise at theme park stores, third-party retailers, and Disney shop-in-shops. And in 2019, Target opened many Disney stores in 25 of its locations. So sadly, our Disney store has shut down.
Yeah. That was a shame. We found a great collection of ornaments there one time.
Yeah.
And if you go looking for ornaments on like the Shop Disney app, it's just, you don't see any. I mean, you see them, but there's too many. I want to see them all in context where I can look at a whole thing, a display, and be like
a tree?
I want that one. What I'm saying is I like to browse in a store.
Okay.
Well, now you'll have to browse on an app, unless you're at Walt Disney.
Let's do it 20% less now. Around the country.
Number four, mask policy updated once again for Walt Disney World. So last week, Disney updated their mask policy for the resort restaurants with a stricter policy. Face coverings for each guest age 2 and up, which must be worn in all public areas and can only be removed while actively eating and drinking. And face coverings must be worn while standing, waiting, or sitting in dining locations. And according to WW Magic, quote, it appears that Disney has experienced issues with some guests sitting at restaurants maskless for an extended period while not actually eating or drinking, end quote.
Yeah, I guess people are using them as rest stations or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a shame that they ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Like, it was nice being able to take off your mask and, like, sit there while other people are eating and you've already finished your food, but... I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
It's a pandemic. You gotta make some tough choices.
You're still inside and air conditioned, so.
Yeah.
And if I should put a timer on you. No. For like, you've had enough time to eat your dinner. Get out.
You can stay for more time, but you gotta order more food.
Yep.
That's fine. Keep those churros coming, baby.
You don't even like churros.
I like the little churros at Pecos Bills.
Oh, yeah.
I think I don't like the idea of churros more than churros.
That's a weird sentence.
Yeah.
And that is it for news.
That was some good news, Michael.
Tweet.
Hey, guess what, fellas? Disneyland is back.
Woo-hoo!
And this time, actually, I've said this like 15 times, and I'll for a taste of it, you know, or something
no,
like
it's
that.
It's a touch.
A touch, yeah. But it's a taste of California Adventure, I believe, right?
Right.
Anyway, it's coming back, and this time, they mean it. So it's been almost a full year since Disneyland Resort, Universal Studios Hollywood, and other major theme parks closed in California. And though we're seeing some interesting pop-up events, including Taste of Universal and A Touch of Disney, many are wondering when these popular theme parks can resume regular operations. And now it looks like we may have an answer. According to updated guidelines from California's health department, major theme parks in the state can reopen as soon as April 1st under a new refresh of Governor Gavin Newsom's four-tier blueprint for a safer economy. I don't know why refresh was in quotes, though, by the way. So,
because they probably didn't want to say... they were completely going against what they had planned in the first place. Right. So now they're just calling it a refresh.
Quote.
Instead of a reboot.
Under this updated legislation, Disneyland, Universal Studios Hollywood, Knott's Berry Farm, Six Flags Magic Mountain, SeaWorld San Diego, Legoland California, and other large theme parks can reopen once the counties they are located in reach the red/substantial tier 2 risk status. As you might expect, there will be capacity caps in place for the reopening, including the following mandated by the state. 15% capacity in the red/substantial tier 2, 25% capacity in the orange/moderate tier 3, 35% capacity in the least restrictive yellow/minimal tier 4. And in contrast, Walt Disney World reopened in July 2020 at a 25% capacity. Disneyland was originally planned to reopen on July 17th, 2020, after its closure in March due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It did open the Downtown Disney Shopping District in July and parts of California Adventure for dining. Just a taste. Or just a touch. I already forgot which one it was again.
Touch.
According to the Orange County Register, entry will initially be restricted to California residents only. And here is a quote from Ken, and I never know if it's Potrock. Potrock. I read it as Potrock.
Patrick.
It could be Patrick. It's Potrock.
Potrock.
It was like when I watched Gotham and when they would do The title sequence, all I kept reading was "Got Ham," because it just came in like on two sides. Like, and it threw me off at the beginning of every episode, and I giggled about it. Anyway, Ken Potrock, president of Disneyland Resort, said, quote, "We are encouraged that theme parks now have a path forward reopening this spring, getting thousands of people back to work and greatly helping neighboring businesses and our entire community. With responsible Disney safety protocols already implemented around the world, we can't wait to welcome our guests back and look forward to sharing an opening date soon." And that was after people had started reporting they're opening April 1st. We didn't say that. We didn't say that. Just FYI, we didn't say that. We're reopening soon. We can reopen soon. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's... That says something big about like how much money is flowing through Disneyland on a daily basis, where they can open at 15% capacity and they're like, yep, we're on it.
Sounds good.
We're open. Everybody come on back.
The churro sales alone.
Yeah.
It's exciting. The light is at the end of the tunnel. We're certainly not there.
I like that. I like the approach of making it only available to California residents first.
Yeah, that's smart.
Like, because it helps with people not trying to crowd into things and travel and all that kind of stuff. I'm surprised they don't even limit it further to like Southern California or whatever. Like,
right?
You know, they can do that.
Trailed off there, buddy.
Yep.
It happens.
So exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's it for Main Tweet USA.
Thanks, Will. That was a wonderful trip down Main Tweet USA.
There's and been a lot maybe of- soon you can go down Main Street USA in Disneyland. Yeah.
Today's topic is 10 questions about Raya and the Last Dragon. So, as is our tradition here at this podcast that we do, the Florida Project, we are going to... I have written 10 questions. Michael and Will do not know what these questions are, and we will use them to talk about Raya and the Last Dragon. If you want a beat-by-beat recap, listen to another podcast.
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah, spoilers. There are spoilers... from here on out, so if you haven't seen it and you're planning on seeing it and you don't want to be spoiled, then, you know, pause this one and listen to something else.
Quit telling people to listen to other things.
But tell your friends about this show if they've seen Raya.
Life. I trained to become a guardian of the Dragon Gem, but this world has changed. And its people are divided. Now, to restore peace, I must find the Last Dragon. My name is Raya. Tuck, tuck. You're getting a little too big for this, bud.
Okay, here we go. Ready? This movie is getting a lot of praise for its animation and art direction. What do you think of the look of the movie?
Beautiful. Textured.
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of texture.
A little real in some places.
There were a couple of times where you could have told me this was a war movie when they're going down like the river in the boat and like just having like a background shot, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like it was... first of all, we all know that Pixar and Disney has water down. They got it.
Yeah.
Like, they
yeah. I remember when we watched, was The Last Dinosaur or something?
Yeah.
That, like, at the very beginning of that, I was like, oh, okay, well, they're done with water. Water's done. Check.
The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah, The Good Dinosaur.
Was it The Last Dinosaur, too? I didn't watch the movie.
No,
I
don't know. No.
Yeah. I thought it was... I don't know how many more steps forward they can take without it turning into this isn't an animated, looks animated anymore.
Yeah.
You always have to have something to make it look like it's not real, or else, you know, the uncanny valley, etc.
Yeah.
But by the way, every time you just saw a valley there, it was also very beautiful.
Yeah, there are so many parts of that movie you could just pause it, and then it's like, oh, that's art. Like, you just put that on your wall somewhere.
Yeah. I like that they are, it seems like they've just made the choice to not try to make people-looking people.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it still looks animated.
Yeah, they have a animation style in their characters that has been there since Tangled, that their version of a computer-animated human has kind of been consistent.
Yeah.
Since then, obviously, it looks better now, but that style hasn't changed much.
Yeah, I like the world. I like the way they sort of told the flashback story at the beginning.
Yeah, they had like different styles, kind of like Moana did.
Yeah.
I like when it went full animated on some of the flashback things.
Yeah.
It looked more anime. You know, at the time. I thought that was really neat. I like when they do use different styles. Also, very randomly, I like that they had the big title cards whenever they went to a different land.
Yeah, that was helpful.
And they were also different themed.
They had different fonts, too. That was cool.
We would never remember all these because there was a lot of exposition at the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
I mean, which is fine. You got a lot going on.
Yeah. I thought they did a good job. I guess we'll get into it later. I thought they did a good job with the exposition. There was a lot to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did, too.
But I think the title cards and the map they showed, it was a dragon and all the lands were different parts of a dragon, which I think helped.
Yeah,
and
it helped to reinforce. What? Heart, fang, talon, spine, and tail.
Yeah,
and earth, wind, and fire.
Yeah, so that's. I mean, if I can remember that.
Yeah.
A day later, that's good.
I agree. But it was beautiful. It was also. I tried to do the like I did the last one of these. Movies that the home movies, you know, like officially this is a new movie. When I watched Wonder Woman, I turned the lights off and I didn't have popcorn last night because I just had some lovely Carrabba's, but had my water and I turned the lights off and then I tried to make it more cinematic. And there were a couple times I thought, man, if I had a better TV, this would be even better.
Yeah, I purposely did not pick up my phone at all during, because I was like, if I was watching this in the theater, I would not pick up my phone. So I'm going to pay
attention.
There
were a couple times for me at the beginning where I was in a group text and they wouldn't shut up. So I just,
mute.
I put it on mute and I watched the movie.
I'm in Commandra right now.
Yeah.
But I also paused and went to the bathroom and it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, really any of these movies that we buy rent like this over the past year, I think we're both pretty good at if we spent money on it, we're going to put our phones down.
Especially if it's a new movie. A lot of the movies we see at home, they're movies, for the most part, we've seen before.
Yeah.
Not entirely.
We're doing an Avengers or a Marvel movie rewatch. You can use your phone then.
Yeah. It's like watching anything else on TV that you've seen before. You shouldn't yell at Michael about picking up his phone during Avengers Endgame, Jason. I told you that last time.
I don't.
Well, let me talk about the world building for a minute then.
Okay.
Like I said, they did a good job of reinforcing everything, because at the beginning when they're going through it, there's a lot of exposition and it's not complicated, but there's a lot to it. There's different parts. There's different names of things that aren't familiar to you. And sometimes that can get a bit overwhelming where you don't really remember the mythology that they set up at the beginning. But I thought the way they did it in this movie, they set it up all at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kept referencing it in different ways that were interesting and not as expository throughout the movie. And that made it so when things happened, you could instantly call back to the mythology that they had created without having to think too much about it.
Yeah. I really like it felt like a fully fleshed out backstory, which it was. And I do, I love that type of thing in movies where they do the, all right, here's what's happened in the world. Here's what you need to know before we get to where we are now. Like they did it in Lord of the Rings. And I really like that. So just any kind of voiceover of here's the legend story.
The world has changed.
Yes.
Oh, the Lord of the Rings one was fantastic.
The Tesseract.
In the water. That's all I remember from that one.
I got confused because I was like, wait, they didn't say that in Avengers.
No, that was Lord of the Rings.
I got confused with the two of them. But no, they're very good. I agree with that. I love the world building of it. It was succinct and had some depth, which was nice.
Yeah.
For a Disney animated feature, they didn't need to go in that in depth on everything, but they did. And I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. A Star Wars alum played a main role in this film. What did you think of Alan Tudyk as... Get it?
See, before I watched the movie, I did look up the cast list, so I wouldn't be picking up my, who is that?
Yeah.
Which was great, because there wasn't that, a lot of star power in it, so yeah. There wasn't much stunt casting, except for Alan Tudyk as Tuk-Tuk. I mean, good for him getting a paycheck and everything, but, you know. I would also like to bring up Kelly Marie Tran, if I might.
We'll talk about it later.
I'll just say she had a great voice, first of all.
Like, we'll talk about her
I'm
later.
I'm just talking about her right now. She had a great voice. Alan Tudyk was garbage. Tuk-Tuk should have talked, though, we'll say.
What did, he just did, like,
yeah.
Type of
voice. Well, then it was deeper later.
Wait, you know what? It has to be somewhat realistic. I mean, for the this world.
Okay.
You think Vin Diesel really did record every one of those
IMDb's?
I don't
know. I've always thought about that. Like, it is always...
Like, there was a day he was hungover, and he's like, just, you got
just
it.
Just use one of the other ones. Yeah. I mean, and really,
but then at the same time, like, did it take him 20 minutes to do it all?
Exactly. Like, you know, there were times in, like, you know, there was one in Endgame where I'm Groot. Like, that's different.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm Groot.
But in Guardians of the Galaxy, he sounded the same all the time. Yeah. Like, and in, did he do the screaming and everything for Baby Groot? These are the things that go through my mind when I watch those movies. Except I forget, and then it's just good, and it's fine.
Yeah. We are Groot.
Yeah, oh yeah, he had to do that one too. I forgot.
All right. Kelly Marie Tran played Raya and was absolutely delightful. Not a question, just a fact.
No, that's absolutely a fact. She was also great in The Last Jedi. It wasn't her fault about anything you didn't like, first of all.
Yeah, she's... I don't know that they... Disney was like... gave her this as an apology or whatever. Like, I think she certainly earned it, and she was great as Raya, but I'm very happy that after all the stuff that happened with her with Star Wars, and how the toxic part of the fandom focused all of their hatred for the movie really on her. When she's, you know, it's like her first movie ever. Like, she certainly doesn't have a say in the plot.
Laura Dern got her share too, and Laura Dern seems like a nice lady.
Yeah,
yeah, I love Laura Dern.
Yeah, so I'm glad that
the ladies, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
these people.
I'm glad that Kelly Marie Tran got to become an official Disney princess.
Yeah,
and I thought she did a great job.
I can comment on whether this wasn't like an apology for The Last Jedi. It was not, because she was not originally Raya. Someone else was cast, and then they changed the character enough where they needed a different actress.
Eric Stoltzer.
No, it's
or Captain Janeway.
It sounded like the originally Raya was much more stoic, and like then they changed their mind and wanted her to be more playful and more like adventurous.
Oh, is Zack Snyder going to direct this movie?
Maybe. But she had tried out for the role originally and had like lost it to this other actress, who I'm not sure it was. And so when they changed the character of Raya, they were like, oh, well, she would be perfect. Like, her dynamic's different, so she would be perfect for this role.
Yeah.
I just kept noticing how much I enjoyed her voice. She has a really, really good voice.
Yeah, she really does.
I bet she could sing.
She, I was reading an article. I don't think it was that. We also watched, there was like a special feature of the making of.
Which was very worth watching. It's like 3 minutes, but I would like to watch more of.
They made the it at home.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic.
Oh, yeah. So before we'll tag back onto that and use that as the movie is getting a lot of praise for its animation. I can't believe we didn't bring that up in that segment. But she helped. Help them pronounce some things, like say how things would be pronounced in Vietnamese culture, which I guess that's her heritage. And so that was cool. And then apparently, like, when she called up Sisu and like apologized and said, you know, please come help because I broke the world and I'm sorry about it or whatever. That was all ad-libbed from her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She said it better than that.
Yeah, she's... Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry about her, whatever.
I'm sorry. Can you... I was trying to make a friend, but couldn't.
It's like Alexis on Schitt's Creek. Yeah. I thought she did. She did a fantastic job just overall. And
yeah,
it added a layer of... whenever there's a really good voice actor or actress, you can just tell.
Yeah.
You know? And somebody that seems to like really care.
Yeah.
You know, to like... I don't know. It was really good.
Yeah. So going back to this was all made at home. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, at least a good chunk of it. I mean, voice work was done at home, animation was done at home. I mean, they've been working on it for years. So, I mean, a lot of the pre-production stuff was all done before COVID. But yeah, the main production was done in the last year.
If they had to record people at home, like they in that little extra, they showed like kid the kid was like, oh yeah, it's in my closet, like he had his recording stuff set up in his closet. We were all three were remote, we would probably be in our closets.
Nope, I refused. Michael told me to go in a closet. I'm like, no, I'm sitting out here in the living room. Not sitting in a closet
or a tent. Somebody had like a big, they put a big tent in there.
As we've seen from the Frozen documentary, these movies aren't really put together until the last minute, quite frankly.
Yeah, and they're constantly changing.
So, I mean, the heart of this movie was done all at home, which is even more impressive.
Yeah. Because
you saw in that documentary how many, this is just Frozen 2, like, but how many like big decisions were made in big meetings and everything around tables and like even having some people like Jonathan Groff like on Zoom, which was cute having one person on Zoom instead of a group of 12. And it was nice that Kelly Marie Tran was in like individual meetings. That was cool too. Yeah. And then, they joked about meeting people's pets and their kids. And it's something we've all dealt with over this past year. And it was really neat. I would like to see more of the making of Raya, honestly.
Yeah,
it was originally supposed to come out in November, but was obviously delayed because of COVID until March.
Was it ready in November?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it was delayed enough where they actually had
like
to
actually, it wasn't like a Bond delayed.
Bond is ready, guys. Like,
she's been ready.
There's somebody at Sony who's just like, now. Now. Same thing for Black Widow. Poor Black Widow. They also had a 3-minute feature on like the real world aspects of the design, what they based a lot of the world on too. Yeah. That was on there. It was really cool. It's 3 minutes. It was worth watching.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as cute as the other one.
Yeah, I suspect there'll be more extras when it comes out for everyone, which is, I think, June 4th. Like, you don't have to pay premiere access.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these movies get more extras, especially when they come to iTunes or Blu-ray.
Oh, this was my first paying for premiere access at home, where we watched Mulan together.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, it worked.
How was your experience?
Well, I'll say one thing. So, if you haven't done it yet, you know, click buy, and then it's like, you know, put in the last 3 digits of your credit card that you use for the account. Well, that didn't work. Because whatever way I did the credit card through, I could have PayPal'd it. I really don't remember, like, from that promo we all did from D23 or whatever, which you could have done 15, 20 different ways. But then I bought it through iTunes on the Apple TV, so it was fine. But there wasn't an option to do anything different on that first screen. So I was like, okay, I don't know. That worked. Like, no, we'll take your money. It's fine.
You bought it through iTunes, so you could buy it through iTunes to watch
it. Used my Apple iTunes account to
pay for it.
To pay for it.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I was using the Apple TV.
Gotcha.
Now, if I'd been on my computer, I probably would have just typed in another credit card. But they don't want you doing that on the Apple TV.
No.
Like, typically.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have any problems with the last 3 digits.
I don't know. It's very possible I used PayPal or something like that.
Yeah,
that
was a long time ago.
It really was. And we got 3 years of it.
I think so. Yeah, for like $4. Something. I don't know.
Which is one of the reasons I never bundled Hulu and everything, because I'm like, I might lose money.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about doing that soon. I might be calling Comcast on Monday. if I'm going to watch the Braves this summer, there's one streaming option. It's AT&T streaming, but it's more money now than the Hulu live streaming.
I think we found your grievance. Let's save it for the extra.
I'm resigned to it. I'm not even grieved by it.
All right. Next up, how do you feel about Awkwafina in general, and specifically as Sisu in this movie? Did you find her annoying or lovable?
I don't think I have
Sisu, not Awkwafina.
Yeah, I don't think I have any feelings on Awkwafina.
Love Awkwafina.
She seems fine. I've no negative or positive. Yeah.
She seems fun.
I don't know a lot of her work, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think the only other thing I've seen her in is Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
And she was good in that, too.
I never saw it.
Oh, you should watch that.
Oh, yeah. It's delightful.
I do need to watch that.
She plays the same type of, Bronx-y character.
I liked her in this, and I thought Sisu was... What was it? What were the questions? Adorable or annoying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like it could have been a Frozen Olaf type of situation from the trailers.
Yes, I will say when I saw and saw the dragon the first time in the trailer in the voice, I was like, oh, that's not what I was expecting for the dragon. But yeah, in context of the movie, I thought it worked perfectly.
I thought she was great.
There were some headlines I saw yesterday while just perusing the internet where... I don't know if they were being paid by Disney, but it was fine. Like they were comparing her to Robin Williams' Genie. I'm like, that's a lot to live up to. She was great. She was no Robin Williams' Genie, but she was great.
Yeah, maybe they just meant like that character. Like,
yeah,
it was like that role.
Yeah,
in the
sort
movie.
Of manic-y.
I don't know that.
I don't know. I liked Robin Williams can be a bit much.
Not as Genie. That was pretty perfect. If you say something about Tom Hanks next, we're gonna she was great. I added some good humanity to the dragon.
I liked that her superpower was she was a strong swimmer.
Yes. Yeah. Which was not a joke.
It was not a joke.
Not a joke at all.
It was hilarious. Yeah.
I would like to know more about the dragons.
I love that she kept going on about being a strong swimmer too.
And she was. Yeah. I mean, right. She's a strong strumming. It was good. I liked how she gained powers throughout the film. That was fun. But as far as her acting goes, she added a good character, a good aspect. It wasn't just the fish out of water, type thing. Oh, I've been dead for 500 years. She's all right.
She moved past that pretty quick.
We're doing this now. Cool.
Yeah,
I'm a great swimmer.
It also seemed like she had a Thanos snap experience of being asleep for 500 years.
She didn't realize time had passed.
Yeah. When is this? Tuesday. Which is how you would answer. I mean,
yeah. All right. Anything else to say about Sisu?
I kept forgetting her name, sadly. I don't know why. This is one of those movies I was having a hard time remembering people's names as we were going through it.
And I was surprised that it was such a, when I saw it written out, that it's such a short name. It seemed, when they say it in the movie, it seems like it would be a...
Yeah, I really thought it was going to have an X in it or something.
Yeah.
Actually, just because. I kept remembering Raya, obviously, and I kept trying to remember Namari just because they said it a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody, I never knew Tong's name. Didn't know it at all until I looked it up in the cast list.
Well, that's the Viking guy?
That was Benedict Wong.
Wong, okay. Yeah. Tong Wong.
Yeah. All right, aside from Sisu, who was your favorite character in Raya's crew? So we can talk about that.
All right, young Tuk Tuk.
Yeah.
baby Tuk Tuk.
That was your favorite?
But since he wasn't in it the whole time, then it'd have to be Captain Boone.
Yeah. Captain Boone was great.
Because he had a little backstory. He had he actually was helpful. And it's nice to have a cook.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
And they made things too spicy. I thought that was funny.
I liked Con Baby.
Oh, the
Con
baby. Was
Or Baby Con.
It was Con Baby.
Baby. Yeah.
And the her friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what those were.
They were a bit much for me.
No, they're good.
Yeah.
I like Tong. When he had them held hostage, and he was threatening him, you don't have a plan, do you? That is what is great. Disney movies, and that just reminded me of a Marvel movie, Quip, that's something you didn't see on a lot of older movies. That is current humor, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
And something people didn't like about The Last Jedi. So, but whatever.
The con baby's name was Little Noi.
Little Noi. Adorable.
Yes.
But yeah, it was really good. I think Captain Boone was my favorite.
Yeah. It was a good, I liked that it was like a full crew too.
Yeah. And they all even had, at the end, Namari joining the crew.
Yeah. And then they all had a, Disney wasn't playing around with the orphaning in this movie. They orphaned everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was creepy when they turned to stone and they were like in the praying position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they had their hands out for, some people said it was, cause the dragons gave water. So they were, they needed water. They were asking for water.
Yeah, I was noticing that if everybody did it, but then when the crew got stoned at the end, they were in there just, you know, hugging each other or whatever.
Yeah.
That's true.
They didn't
yeah.
do the official pose.
Yeah. I didn't make the connection until close to the end that her crew was someone from all five realms.
It took me until the very, very, and when they were putting the thing together.
Yeah, like, I was like, The whole
are we dumb?
The whole world or the whole kingdom came together in a little microcosm.
Did you just get it?
Well, the kingdom. Michael had mentioned that it was one from everybody, and I was like, well, Namari didn't really join until
she joined when it was necessary.
The end. Like she joined after the thing, but yeah, I guess all of the different. Yeah.
By the way, I also really like the design of the dragon stone layer or whatever. Like at the beginning, the little garden. I thought that was really neat. Just. These are things I'm remembering as we're talking about it. And I liked Captain Boone's ship, too. It was cool.
Yeah. Shrimp butt.
It reminded me of the Captain Jack's or whatever from Summer Rental. That was the boat and it was the restaurant.
Some of it reminded me of... what's that movie? The Vietnam movie?
You got to narrow it down.
With Brando.
Apocalypse Now. Yeah.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, there were scenes, like, honestly, it's,
like, going down that river. Apocalypse Now, maybe? No, not.
Have you seen Apocalypse Now?
Yeah.
Heart of Darkness.
I've never seen Heart of Darkness.
I have not seen Heart of Darkness.
I've seen that version, yeah.
Or Hearts of Darkness. That's the documentary about it.
Yeah.
That I've seen the spoof of that documentary on Community, but not the documentary.
You know, it also had... had a Moana flair to it at times as well.
This whole film.
But more of a crew, obviously.
Yeah.
And Tuk Tuk.
Yes.
who could have had more screen time? I really liked that she was using him as like a vehicle.
A car.
Yeah. That was kind of neat. When you said realism earlier, I'm like, she was using that thing as a car.
I know. That's been funny.
I know. It was, but I liked her whole crew. It would be fun to see a sequel for the whole crew in action, actually. Like with Namari there too. Oh, and that when Namari turned on her as a kid, I saw that coming.
Yeah,
I don't trust anybody anymore.
Yeah, that severe undercut.
Didn't she call her undercut at one time? Like somebody said that was funny.
I think it was like the Undercut Kingdom or something.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, they all had a similar hairstyle.
Yeah, that had a Star Trek vibe to it. By the way, where every kingdom was like a different planet on Next Generation.
Something. You had the snowy bamboo forest.
Everybody dressed the same. Everybody like had the same like outfits and haircuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. If you were one of the other chiefs, would you have taken a bit of the dragon gem, or would you have tried to go along with Raya's dad's peace thing?
Well, I'd like to say I would go along with it, but I don't really know if I was in their position and been through all the stuff they had been through, like what I would do, really. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think it depends on which one you're like. If you're the one that's the desert or whatever, possibly, like, I don't know. It sucks here. You got a nice garden.
Yeah. I mean, like, the Namari and her mom, they weren't evil. Like their plan was not evil. They were trying to do like they were trying to keep their people safe.
Yeah.
And I think like if you live in that world, I think it's hard to trust people. And if, you know, the other four kingdoms each have a piece of the dragon gem, and the one kingdom that's had the dragon gem has been doing pretty good.
Doing pretty good, guys.
Like maybe that is the reason.
Yeah,
you have the prettiest kingdom. Shocked.
Yeah,
you know. But none of those Droons, was it Droon?
I think so.
Yeah, they weren't around anymore, so it was fine regardless. Like, it could have been worse. People need to remember it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, already next year, like when things get better around here, I don't want people to complain about lines for restaurants.
Ugh, 10-minute wait.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure we will. We'll start
complaining. Absolutely. We'll all do
we'll
it.
We'll all need a reality check by, I guess it doesn't matter. Yeah. At least we're here doing this.
Yeah.
I am kind of on that note. I like that there really wasn't like a real big bad in the movie.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't like... Numari was like the villain and like they had to defeat her at the end. Like,
yeah.
Obviously those Druin or whatever were like evil things or bad things, but
yeah.
It wasn't like,
I like how easily they described what those things. Yeah. They're bad feelings from people or whatever. they're monsters.
People don't trust one another. So it made those.
Oh,
it's like a dementor.
Should probably trust each other then.
Yeah. They are kind of like
a dementor Medusa.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was no big bad behind them, which was nice. Like, you know, there wasn't a big dragon, a bad dragon or anything. Yeah. Like, you didn't need that. It was fun. And Namari had her face turn at the end was also very predictable and very good. And also, the animation of her was really good. Like, that whole final, the climax scene was really, really well done.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like that Raya was the first to sacrifice herself. Like, you know, that was really cool.
Somebody has to take the first step.
Set the tone, man. Yep. Like, she's a hero. That's a real hero right there, guys.
All right. At the end of the movie, there were tons of dragons flying around Kumandra. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Kumandra. Mm-hmm. What would be the best and worst parts of living in this place with dragons just everywhere?
Before I answer that, could the other dragons speak?
Yeah,
they didn't
I'm sure.
say anything. They just not want to hire any voice actors.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Okay,
just I don't know curious. why they wanted it. But
I kept expecting the big brother to say something, and then he's just smiling. I'm like, all right, well, I mean, Sisu's our friend. I get it, but like,
well, I noticed in Captain Marvel that most of the other Skrulls didn't speak. So,
speaking of Captain Marvel, the actress that plays Namari, Gemma Chan, she was one of the Kree that was on Jude Law's team.
Oh, is she the blue one?
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for her.
She's also, I guess, the other woman.
She's also in Crazy Rich Asians. She's the sad one.
I really need to watch Crazy Rich Asians.
She's really, I really like her. She's been in a lot of things.
Yeah, I like her.
What was the question again? Oh, the dragon.
Best parts, best and worst parts. Like, what are the practical implications? I mean, there's dragon poop.
Yeah, I was going to say, the worst thing would be like just poop falling out of the sky.
Yeah.
I think it would be really hard to get used to all of a sudden there's just like another species that's, you know, the alphas.
Yeah, they're definitely superior.
I think you'd also have to, you know, it would take a while to everybody to get used to again, like all these people that went unstoned too, right? Like,
yeah,
where we have enough food and shelter for all these people. Like,
well, now that they have the dragons back, yeah.
Well, sure.
Maybe, but not shelter. I'll have to bunk up for a little while.
But good. It'd be good to have like superhero dragons around that seem to be doing good things.
Yeah, I like that it had only been 500 years because it made it. It wouldn't like be like all these people were suddenly shocked to see dragons again. Like, if it had been like 5,000 years since the last dragon, like, people would have like evolved beyond like probably believing they were even real.
Yeah.
But the fact that it had only been 500 years made it seem more believable that when they came back, it was such a big deal to them.
I don't know. In Star Wars,
boom. He stole my line.
30,
not even 30 like
years,
20
not
something.
Even 20 something years.
Jedi, get out. What?
That ancient religion? Like, so like talking about mythology.
Well, yeah, but if the Jedi have been flying all around their villages, then maybe they
believe
all.
I mean, the way that can be explained, they were exterminated and all the books were burned too. And if you talked about it, you might get killed. So I, you know, that's one thing the prequels might have made a little bit more sense about. Like, you know, they were literally exterminated and a forbidden subject, I would imagine. But yeah, I agree. I thought, and how long had it been since the stone was broken?
6 years?
6 years.
Was it six? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it wasn't an insanely long amount of time then either. Like,
right.
You know,
For
the recently stoned people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, you know, sort of like an Endgame where there was a snap and it happened to everybody. Like, this was a wave that, I mean, it was happening that day.
Yeah, I wonder if Raya had, because when she went by and saw her stone dad from a distance, like, it was awkward. I wonder if she had been away the whole time.
Yeah, she was searching the river.
Well, she had to get like a that cool hat. Where'd she get that hat?
River.
Talon.
Cool. By the way, there were some shots. So, like, there were some really cool shots of her, like, you know, just walking up with the hat and the sword. She looked pretty BA.
Yeah. It was very, like, samurai movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not overly.
Or western-y.
Yeah. It had a good combination of both. A PG, was it PG?
It was PG, yeah.
PG rated Kill Bill at times.
Probably because of those dreamers. Those things were scary.
And the fight. I mean, they're punching. You don't see a lot of times where people get punched in the face in a Disney movie.
Yeah,
it's true.
And actually land it, you know, and kicked in the face. And like that was, and it was a little scary. Those dreams were pretty scary.
Yeah.
So
that whip sword. So something that I didn't get at the end when Namari shot Sisu, was she, it almost seemed like the whip sword is what made the thing go off.
It's possible.
Or was she whip sorting because she saw that she had pulled the trigger?
I think what happened is she was gonna pull the trigger. She threw the whip sword, which caused her to release the trigger quicker. So essentially they both killed, like they both caused, that was my impression, was that it's kind of like the firing squad where you have five people shooting and one of them doesn't shoot. You don't know which one actually killed the person.
Yeah.
This was, they were both to blame because of what they did. Like one was she was going to shoot Sisu, and then by her trying to stop her, she actually caused her to shoot her.
Yeah. I just quicker. Didn't, I don't know what's in it for her if she shoots Sisu.
Who had the firing squad bingo card?
That's the first thing I thought of.
All right. Do you think the shape-shifting dragons hang out in the world with people? What would you do if you were a shape-shifting dragon? And really, the real question is, like, Zeus would come down to Earth, change himself,
you know what he was
get
doing.
Bizet, and have some babies. Do you think there are a lot of half-dragon babies out there?
Did Sisu get to keep all the powers?
Yeah.
That she had collected in her Captain Planet search?
Yeah, I don't know.
After the she came back. That's what I'm curious about. Because they only had their regular powers, I would imagine. So the one shapeshifter could shapeshift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many dragons are there?
I bet she got them all.
There was a lot of dragons, but she got the powers from her family dragons. Like the family dragons.
Anyway.
But the family is, they're the ones who put their powers into the gym.
Yeah.
Well, they were the last five.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Like it was.
The final five?
Oh.
It's all along the watchtower now.
You don't need to put that drop in.
I think there are definitely half dragon.
Probably. Again, it was nice that she was used to it quickly again. She was naive, but it wasn't like, oh my God, feet, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
although she was also like, wasn't she the youngest one?
Yeah, it seemed that way.
Yeah, so she was probably like immature compared to the rest of them. Yeah. Like in her experience.
I also liked how they could jump and run on the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they fly.
That was cool. Like that was just,
they run on
I like the design of that. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, I will say like when she got shot and then after, I mean, you could actually see some rage in some of the other team members, like eyes and everything. But that the final fight where they're all getting stoned, it was emotional.
Yeah.
And it was going to be a lot more emotional because she wasn't always going to come back at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
I also like the it was haunting the way they animated when she got shot.
She turned dark.
Turned dark like, and then like fell off the cliff.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't overly animated and, you know, like, yeah, that was.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't like that she got shot, but I like the way they did it if you're going to do it.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. They had they were debating about whether or not to keep her dead. At the end of the movie.
It would have been a bit much to keep it. I mean, we're still a Disney movie.
I mean, I guess it's the argument against it is people aren't going to believe that she's dead. And like, it's the sort of it's a trope really. And especially in Disney movies where if they kill somebody, they're probably coming back.
It's a magic dragon. Just do some magic.
Right.
Like even.
But then you go, but it's also a kids. It's also a Disney movie. Exactly. You need to bring the dragon back.
I think we're going to
And we
want
to sell dragons.
Yeah. One of our main characters the whole time, she got shot. The magic dragon got shot with an arrow and can't come back.
Yeah.
Do some other magic. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Even everybody comes back. I still don't believe Loki's dead.
Not old Yeller. Old Yeller didn't come back.
Wasn't a magic dragon.
That's true. The one difference between Sisu and Old Yeller.
Mm-hmm. Rabies. Right. never seen Old Yeller.
What?
Yeah.
You should have a double feature of Old Yeller and Where the Red Fern Grows.
No, Old Yeller and Crazy Rich Asians. And Get Out. I've never seen Get Out either.
Get Out's good.
Yeah, I know.
You need to watch all three of those.
I do. I'm going to have a triple feature tomorrow.
You do me dirty. All right.
terrible triple feature. Is Old Yeller on the plus?
All right. In the United States Supreme Court, the newest justice is the last one to address others in meetings. They have to answer the door when they're all in like conference. So if somebody comes in and they're like, Justice Roberts forgot his coffee, the newest justice has to get up and like answer the door and give him the coffee or whatever.
Wait, is that for real?
Yeah. And they have to serve on the cafeteria committee. So when people have complaints about the...
You're making stuff up now.
I'm not. When people have complaints about like the mac and cheese in the cafeteria at the Supreme Court, the newest Supreme Court justice has to hear about it.
So Amy Coney Barrett, all this...
Yep. Apparently, either Sotomayor or Breyer successfully lobbied for a frozen yogurt machine while they were on the committee. Anyway, as the newest member,
I'm very on board with answering the rest of this question, but I really would like to know more about this. Yeah. I'm gonna have to.
It's a way to I don't know. I'm gonna humble people, and it's hazing. They do some Supreme Court.
Well,
hazing.
Sure. But, I mean, hopefully not bad.
As the newest member of Disney's pantheon of princesses, what hazing ritual do you think the other princesses force her to endure?
Oh, do you think they're going to digitally add her back in to Wreck-It Ralph 2?
Oh, they should.
The princess sleepover?
No.
Or no, she'll be in Wreck-It Ralph 3.
Fine. You know what? I say again, that is a Disney Plus series that needs to be made tomorrow.
The princesses.
Yeah. Like the real world. Like they're all living together.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, I've said it a couple of times.
Like a Big Brother type of thing.
And you don't have to use, if it gets too expensive, we don't have to use all the original voices. Yeah. It's fine. Like whatever, recast, make it cheap. Don't even do the great animation.
Yeah.
Do
that Hanna-Barbera.
Sadly, this is all I remember from Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Yeah.
Like, so.
I think there was an undercut in Wreck-It Ralph too. Also,
oh, really?
One of the characters, the one that was
one of the military.
Yeah.
Oh right, that was what's her name from Glee, right? No, Glee? That was Wreck-It Ralph.
What?
She had the undercut, the military lady from Wreck-It
Glee?
Ralph.
Glee.
Oh, you're talking Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There was a different character in Wreck-It Ralph too. Like she drove like a fast car,
I believe.
Oh yeah, in the racing game.
Yeah,
that too.
Yeah. Yep.
Anywho, what was the question?
Hazing. What hazing?
How the hazer?
Well, I think it depends on the princess. I think Little Mermaid will hold her underwater to see how long she could hold her breath.
Well, that's more torture water? Than
that's
hazing,
torture,
right?
Michael.
I think Rapunzel would like tie her up with her hair and throw her at the tower.
You don't.
And then Ariel's going to throw forks at her. Is that what you're saying?
I think she's going to have to
Dingle hoppers.
Categorize or catalog Ariel's collection of crap.
Well, first of all, I think they would make whoever is the newest like get food and stuff. So now they'd have some good food.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Raya would probably go talk to Boone about it and get
some good
stuff.
Shrimp.
Yeah, but I think the newest person also has like, you know, they have to do the potluck like every Sunday night or something. Like you have to get everything together.
Snow White would sing to her.
You have to organize it.
Yeah, absolutely. And cook it. No, cook everything too.
You can't. It's not a potluck if you're catering, not potlucking.
Nah, they still call it the potluck to make it sound not like hazing.
I think she has to make the sign up sheet, and then when people want if Ariel's like, I'm going to bring soup, and then somebody else is like, well, I'm going to bring soup too. Then she has to mediate that discussion.
Ariel can't bring soup. How are you going to eat soup underwater?
Les poissons, baby.
Mulan would make a man out of her.
Yikes.
Thanks for listening. Moana would just be jealous that she's not the newest princess anymore.
No, Moana's happy because she doesn't have to do it. At Salty Myers' work, the newest person had to vacuum.
So all right. Weird. Are we assuming they all live together?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. In Cinderella Castle.
Oh, that's nice.
I think somebody has to clean up after the horses.
Does Cinderella get the best room?
I think they need the Shanghai Castle. They need a bigger one.
Yeah.
For all the princesses. Obnoxious.
No, make it the Hong Kong one. Make it super. It has all those extra tiers and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Ooh, they put her in the room that's like the up the tallest tower.
Oh, yeah.
So she has to go up the highest.
It doesn't have an elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has to set the alarm system.
Is there
night.
A spinning wheel on the top of the tower?
No.
She's prick
she has
with?
To answer the door for UPS to sign. Every time. We want signature required on everything.
She has to taste test apples that are delivered by witches.
No, she would say, no apples. We're not having apples anymore. That's a new rule. This princess castle would have a lot of rules for deliveries, I imagine.
I don't believe in hazing.
Yeah, you believe in
you
torture.
You believe in torture.
Yeah. You go straight past it.
I think it's
thank
the same.
God you weren't in a frat.
Yeah, let's kill him. What?
That's not a prank. All right, and finally, the last question. If Disney were to build a Kumandra in one of its parks, where do you think it would fit best?
Jason and I were talking about this earlier. I think this is the perfect IP to completely replace Dinoland USA. Go back to like the fantastical beast element of Animal Kingdom, and then you can have the shrimp boat in the water there in the lagoon.
Yeah.
It could be a restaurant.
It's vaguely Asian, so it would fit. I mean, it's very Asian. It's vaguely real.
Yeah, it's like a fan. It's not like a real place.
Yeah.
But then they could like do something different with the dinosaur attraction for this, and like, I don't know. I think it would
tear it down and build something new.
No,
probably.
They could retheme it. Open it up like
it's
Indiana
probably
Jones.
Time. It's been
no, think
years.
About it. If they just turned on the lights,
you could ride Tuk Tuk around.
Yeah, you could ride
Tuk Tuk. Do a new Flight of Passage.
Or that big scene in Indiana Jones where you see both levels. What if they're droids down there?
Do we even have both levels in Dinosaur?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's the same.
I don't think there's a hole in the middle of the floor, is there?
No, I mean, it's all. It's, well,
there might be now. Maintenance.
The path is the same. It's just it's not opened up.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Definitely for the restaurant aspect, but you need something else too besides the main attraction.
Yeah, I mean,
you need a secondary attraction.
Yeah, I was thinking
too.
Where the fair is now.
I got it.
Like a B ticket.
Take those Triceratops out and put in dragons. There you got another Dumbo. Congratulations. I mean, sadly, that's probably.
Or maybe some sort of kiddie coaster where you're riding dragons around, like you're flying on them.
Yeah, there's not enough kiddie coasters around.
Yeah.
Like Universal has quite a few, don't they? Or at least a couple, because they had that...
the Hippogriff one.
Yeah, and another one, because they used to have that pterodactyl thing, too, that was kind of a kid thing. And maybe Justin, maybe all I know is Jurassic Park.
There's stuff in Dr. Seuss Land, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if you took our cat on a coaster, he'd probably scratch you.
Kitty coaster.
Kitty coaster, yes. That's a good idea. I like the Animal Kingdom. The only other one would be like to add on to New Fantasyland or something, I think, you know? Take out Storybook Circus.
You could put it in World Showcase and just piss people off.
A Kumandra.
You know what? I am done with people. Like, two, I am.
I would love, like, they should, if Disney were into doing April Fool's Day announcements, that should be an April Fool's Day announcement.
They're replacing every country with.
Just one. They're just, no, they're not replacing anything because nobody will buy it. But maybe on like a March 30th, just put in a release that we're adding Kumandra to the World Showcase, where the
which sadly is. I think it would make people mad. It would make me mad when it was an April Fool's joke. I'm like, oh no, that'd be cool, because I would be perfectly okay with turning Norway into Arendelle officially. Like, it's fine with me. I don't care.
I would be fine with turning World Showcase into all like fictional places as opposed to real places.
Like, it's the educational aspect of Epcot's gone. Like, the ship has sailed.
We have an internet. It's a lot easier to travel. Like, just the stuff that World Showcase was built for originally, just there isn't a need or as much of an interest anymore.
All right, next, armchair imagination or engineering. Put this on the lineup. We're going to go through the World Showcase and we're going to change them all into fictional worlds.
Yeah, right. I'm perfectly okay with that.
That'll be fun.
Especially turning this one into China into Kumandra, perhaps. If you're not going to have the Lotus Blossom Cafe open, like when I'm at Disney World,
mm-hmm.
so I can't, and if I can't buy any dumplings, tear it down.
Don't tell me you don't want to try some of that soup. Put a shrimp, try some of that soup.
Put a shrimp boat in the lagoon and get your shrimp dumplings.
Yeah.
No, the lagoon's full of barges now. And I did see it because they put up the one with the big ring or whatever. And have you seen the meme where it's like, new at Epcot, and then it's Ned. We're all going to die.
And that is it for 10 questions about Ryan the Last Dragon.
Best thing ever.
Yes, best thing ever, 100%.
Yeah. Garbage. No, I mean best thing ever. I really liked it.
Yeah, it was delightful. Yeah. If you haven't watched it...
And you're still listening.
It's worth it.
Watch. I don't know how much we really spoiled, honestly, except the dragon getting shot.
Yeah.
It was crazy that they used a lightsaber for that.
Too. Yeah. I guess the end that all the dragons came back, but they were like, all the dragons turned into stone. Well, they coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
Chekhov stones.
Yeah. Chekhov stone dragon.
I really liked that everybody had such reverence for the dragons and had the little hand signal thing. It was a good world building. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
We also got a review I can read.
Yeah, hit it.
Quango Kate sent in her review of Ryan the Last Dragon because we were speaking about it on the Slack channel as the podcast started. So please join us on Slack, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The first thing I noticed about this movie is that it is visually stunning and the story lives up to its presentation. Kumandra is enchanting and the characters are unique and well-written, although the big guy could have been taken right out of the Snuggly Duckling.
That's true. I thought about that too.
Yeah.
I don't know that reference.
That's not Tangled.
It's from Tangled.
Right.
Like the big guy in Tangled.
Ah, very good.
It was definitely a Robin Hood Jungle Book situation.
Raya is a princess, but that is not what defines her. She's a formidable warrior and has had a big legacy dropped on her shoulders. The backdrop of the story could be described as post-apocalyptic, and Raya has learned how to survive in this new world, as well as becoming disenchanted by it. Along with that, in the events of her childhood, she's developed a deep mistrust of other people, which is a big theme of the movie. Sisu the dragon easily steals the show. She feels like a truly Disney creation. She is all heart and hope and trust. She is childlike while still being quietly wise. And she sees the good in everyone. The movie impressed me much more than I thought it would. It held my attention solidly for almost 2 hours while in my home with my phone and Nintendo sitting next to me. I sincerely hope that we see more of Sisu and Raya. I think they have earned the right to join the pantheon of Disney characters who provide nothing but goodwill to the world.
Point of order. She did say her Nintendo's.
Did she?
Sitting next to her.
Oh, sorry. Her Nintendo's.
No, you said it too. Oh, I was just pointing out that she has multiple Nintendo's.
That was a good review. I would agree.
Yeah.
I would also want to say I didn't know where to say this during the questions. It was oddly topical for right now.
Yeah.
Like the message, the moral, like learning to trust other people and coming together to overcome like a great pandemic or dragon.
If we can't come together, then we will be destroyed.
It's just a matter of time. It was just like it spoke to the time we're in right now, I thought.
Yeah.
I wonder how many I told you so's Raya's dad had after he came. Guys, we could have done this 6 years ago without all this.
What have I been saying?
I said, but hey, whatever.
Whatever.
I lost 6 years of watching my daughter grow up because
glad you guys figured it out, but whatever.
All right. If you have seen Raya and the Last Dragon and you would like to let us know about it, you can email us at info@tfppodcast.com. We're also online at tfppodcast.com. We're on Instagram and Reddit at /tfppodcast and Twitter at tfp_podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcatcher. Check out our shirts at shop.tfppodcast.com and join us on Patreon at patreon.com/tfppodcast. Please tell a friend. That's all I got. Anything else?
Nope. Now I'm gonna go watch it again.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon.